Welcome to the Livelihood Matters podcast. I'm your host, Melinda Francois, a business coach, strategist, and project manager. I help people like you to package their unique knowledge and skills to create multiple streams of income and build sustainable online businesses. I've gone from being broke, living paycheck to paycheck, to building a five-figure coaching and consulting company. I did this by overcoming my scarcity thinking, and I've mastered the art of my thoughts, habits, and words to create the life I want for myself. I want to help others to tap into their higher self to create a business they love and to reduce dependency on one stream of income. We each have gifts that can be explored, and this podcast will help you to get the confidence to maximize your potential, to achieve what you want, and take the desired actions to accomplish them. I'll be sharing tips on scarcity mindset, generational poverty patterns, business strategy, online marketing, habit building, and content creation. Growth is intentional and does not have to be lonely. And I'm here to help you build generational wealth one step at a time by taking a look at the whole picture. Welcome back, guys, to the Livelihood Matters podcast. Today's guest is Natalie Melchiori. Natalie is a women's hormonal health coach and the founder of the Tuned In Method, where she helps women have easier menstrual cycles, practice natural birth control methods, flow with their cyclical hormonal pattern, and connect with their inner wisdom. Her mission is to empower and liberate women to live in tune with their bodies. Natalie, welcome to the Livelihood Matters podcast. And I'm so happy to have you here because a lot of women have asked, myself included, and some persons in my group have asked, how do we deal with hormonal imbalance? So tell us more about yourself. How did you get started in alternative and holistic health?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here as well. How did I get started? So it really was an inspiration through my own journey in learning about my menstrual cycle and my path in coming off of hormonal birth control, and kind of fusing my experience working in higher education, in different medical arenas, so working for med schools, naturopathic medical school, pharmacy, college of nursing, and so kind of seeing how practitioners are educated, or rather the lack of education that's given to practitioners around the menstrual cycle, but also how different types of practitioners choose to treat the menstrual cycle. And then through my own experience of, I was on hormonal birth control for 18 years, wow, which at the time I came off of it had been half of my life.
So
it was quite the journey to not only understand what might have been the underlying factor of a lot of symptoms that I was experiencing in my menstrual cycle and my mood, digestive issues, things like that, but also not getting the answers that I was looking for as well in terms of how my menstrual cycle actually worked, how I could improve things for myself, and then also how I could prevent pregnancy without being on hormonal birth control, which was the big question. Those are kind of like the areas that I specialize in working with women.
Okay. From listening to your story, Natalie, that is a lot that you've been through. And I like the fact that you said that you had to learn it from your own research, because we did not find a lot of support as it relates to hormonal imbalance from the medical community. It is there, but it's not something that is highly prioritized, and myself included, because I've experienced it before and I had to start learning about it. And it's a lot to take in. And the fact that you have been on hormonal birth control for 18 years, that is a long time. And I know a lot could have possibly changed during that time. You probably learned a lot. So tell us more about it. What did you do in case somebody is interested in doing it? What did you do and what was the process like? Was it positive, negative experiences during that time?
Yeah, so my main reason for going on it in the first place was for pregnancy prevention. A lot of people that I work with talk about how they were using the pill or some other method to quote unquote regulate their menstrual cycles. So I personally didn't experience that. But what I noticed over the course of 18 years of being on it was that I gradually started to feel less and less like myself. So I noticed that my libido changed dramatically, meaning that it was absent. It disappeared.
Wow.
I started having digestive issues as well. And probably the most difficult piece that I struggled with was the mood challenges, specifically the depression that I experienced as well. And so, you know, when you go into the doctor's office and you are recommended to go on birth control for one reason or the other, ideally you're being fully informed on the potential risks and side effects of being on a medication like that. And I was educated to some extent, but there are still things that are not talked about in the doctor's office that I find the women that I work with complain about all the time, and not realizing how these other sort of quote unquote lesser effects really impact us on a day-to-day experience. And so, like, I'm referring to some of the mood conditions and some of the other side effects that happen in terms of gut health and just hormonal health in general, thyroid health, things that affect, you know, energy levels and just kind of general feelings of well-being. And so my process in coming off of it was one of having worked with doctors for many years to try to uncover what was going on, you know, working on taking different pills and doing different diet protocols to try to work on things and getting short-term relief, but nothing that ever seemed to stick. And so, like, the last thing that I hadn't tried that none of my doctors were talking about was, okay, you've been on hormonal birth control for so long. So, like, maybe I thought maybe if I try to come off of this, something might change and shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had started with the pill. I had moved to the depot shot. And then I had had a hormonal IUD, the Mirena, twice. So I had it for 10 years in total. And so that's when I came off of it, was when I had my Mirena removed. And I could share that whole process too, of trying to convince the doctor that I didn't need it anymore. I didn't need to go on the copper IUD. I could manage my birth control on my own. But what I will say is that the process of coming off of it, having it removed, was the only way I can describe it was, now I have the language for it, then I did not, but a spiritual experience, in the sense that when I had it removed, it felt as if a portal had opened up inside of my body. And, like, literally I'm laying on the exam table and feeling a rush of energy, like a flood of light and electricity that felt like it was moving through my body from my head all the way down through the core of the center of my body and out. And within 5 to 10 minutes, you know, like, the doctor just does the procedure and then, like, okay, you're all done and get dressed and leave the room. And I was struggling to even leave the room. Like, so much emotion flooded up in that process, which now that I know more about the cervix and its connection to the body and your creativity centers and, like, your just emotional well-being and your groundedness, it makes sense to me now how I would have an emotional, physical experience in this process. But without going much more into detail about that, it was literally, I think anybody who's experienced periods of depression can understand that you feel gray, you feel dull, kind of lifeless. There's not a lot of variation, fluctuation day to day in your moods, your energy levels, your, like, motivation. And within days and weeks after having my IUD removed, like, the color restored to my life. And so I finally felt like I had vibrancy again, that I had, like, reason and purpose, and, like, I didn't know what it was, but I at least felt the energy moving through my body again. And so that is another huge component of the work that I do in guiding women on coming off of hormonal birth control is how to tap back into that aspect of themselves again that might have gotten lost along the process.
Okay, Natalie, thank you for this. And I just want to say, you know what? We need to say congratulations for doing the work for all of us women, because a lot of women are suffering. A lot of women are not well informed about their hormonal wealth, and it's affecting us, our relationships, and everything that we do, even in our businesses. We hear people say, oh, we that women are always different. She's always in the mood, or she's on PMSing, or you're at the workplace and perhaps you are in a mood one day and you're acting different, and your male counterparts might just say, is it that time of the month, you know, without realizing that how sensitive these things are. So do you think the PMS can really affect our daily routine? Because I've known myself to be, how would I say, sometimes I would be moody. And for years, I just figured, I guess this PMS, and just ignoring it, but not taking it on. But I realized that it affected a lot of things that I do. And after the fact, I would say, oh, that was what happened. And I was like, shoot. And sometimes we just battle with it. Do you think it affects our daily routine as women?
Yeah. So I would even reword the way that we talk about PMS, because I mean, this is society and culture and conditioning that, you know, it's what PMS stands for, premenstrual syndrome. So like already labeling it a syndrome, which just means a collection of symptoms that are experienced together. But it makes it sound like it's something that needs to be treated, or it's an illness, or yeah, like some condition that needs to go away. And you know, you're asking about hormonal imbalances, mm-hmm. and yes, hormones can, like when we talk about imbalance, it's how the hormones are relating to one another in terms of their levels and quantities. And so when we're talking about the female menstrual cycle, that's specifically estrogen and progesterone, your two main female sex hormones. And so how the levels of those two hormones fluctuate naturally throughout your full menstrual cycle. So from one period until your next period, about a month in between, those two hormones are fluctuating in a predictable pattern, actually. So while it can seem like they have a mind of their own and that they're unpredictable, they actually follow a very unique, specific pattern throughout the course of a month. And so once you learn where your hormones are at different times in your cycle and what effects those hormones have on your physical well-being, the symptoms that you experience, your energy levels, your mood, once you understand how that all works, then not only can you anticipate the pattern, but you can also have the wisdom to connect the dots as to like why you might be feeling off at a particular time in your cycle. So PMS, yes, typically does show up the week or two before your period begins. And there is, it's quote unquote normal in the sense that it happens because of the imbalance of progesterone in comparison to your estrogen production. And we don't have to get into detail about that, but just know that there is some normal sense of it, in that when those two hormones are not in balance at that time in your cycle, you might feel a little bit extra moody, you might have cravings, just kind of feel like your energy is starting to slow down as your period's arriving. There might be some pain and some cramping involved due to the inflammation, the natural process of inflammation that's happening as your body's preparing to shed its uterine lining. So these things are normal, but where it's not normal is when it disrupts your life, or when it causes, an inconvenience that you can't carry out your daily activities and functions. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like there is an appropriate amount of creating your own adjustments and shifts in your life so that they benefit and support you, because you're aligning your life with your body's natural process. But then when things feel out of alignment, that is then when you can kind of introduce some, you know, various methods or techniques to help bring your body back into alignment. So yeah, just in short, it can affect your daily routine, but just because it does doesn't mean it's bad and we should get rid of it. But it's actually an invitation to slow down. And I always talk about, like, our bodies are like the seasons that we experience on Earth. So, like, everything is in a cycle, and so nothing should just be like straight exponential growth, always, you know, driving and achieving and doing more. But there are times for rest and repair and like re-nourishing your fertility inside, mm-hmm. so that you can like replenish and have a new cycle all over again.
Okay. Just to add to this, as you said that last month, well, this today is, we're recording this in October, but this has been aired, I'm in November. I monitored my cycle, and I realized that a few days before, I was extremely moody, but I was also a bit energized. I wanted to do things in my business. But then when I had my period, on the days that I had my period, I felt very drained and laid back. I was not motivated to do anything. And I actually paid attention to it, and I'm like, that is what's happening. And I'm like, I've noticed it, but I never realized when it occurred. So I monitored the exact days, and right after the period, I saw the change in my energy, in my mood. I started to do more, I got more aligned, and I got clarity about things. And I'm like, I remember speaking to Natalie about this. I started monitoring it, and I'm like, that is so important for us, especially if we have big projects to work on, we have people to deal with, we have meetings, we have a lot of things to go on. We cannot take on these tasks that are going to be very stressful. We cannot take on things that's going to cause us to feel more drained, because during that time your body's already going through a different cycle. Why add on to it? So I'm happy that you say that it has different levels. You have to know when too much is too much. So that is good. But as we are saying that, what if you are not aware of it? So it's happening to you, but you don't really know what to do. So you say women are constantly going through that on a monthly basis. Yes, we know what it is, but because we are not fully aware, we are not paying attention to it, we have the hormonal imbalances, we saw the different changes in our body. What can we do to implement change in our life to balance it? What can we start to be mindful of as women to help be protective of our space and our energy when we have that hormonal imbalance? I'm not sure if, I guess that's clear, you know, for you.
Yeah, that's very clear. I'm so glad that you asked that question. Mm-hmm. And what you did was a great example of where to start with this. So it's just a practice of making it a daily practice of tuning in to where you're at in your cycle and how you're feeling on every given day and starting to track that. So, I mean, this is one of the basic things that I start with clients, is just tracking your cycle. And so it can be as simple as it using your calendar. So if you're a paper person or you're a digital person, either way, just making note of when your period starts and tracking it through the days that you're bleeding, but then continuing to track even after your period has ended to start to notice these different changes that you experience the other weeks of the month. Mm. And so what I like to do is recommend that people kind of think about it in terms of the phases of the moon as well, because mm-hmm. the moon is very similar in length and cycles and energy as our menstrual cycle is. So it's roughly around, you know, 28 days long. It has a full moon phase, which corresponds with our ovulation that happens, you know, halfway through our menstrual cycle. So that's just kind of one way that you can start to check in. But what I would recommend specifically noting is, number one, your energy levels, and like actually describing them with words, because mm-hmm. language is so important. You know, just putting a number may not help you when you're going back and looking at prior cycles, but starting to describe it, giving it more description.
To say basically I'm tired or I'm feeling stressed, overwhelmed. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I would also recommend tracking your mood levels too. So these are your internal emotions, your feelings. So it might be, you know, irritable. It might be I'm feeling like love. Like there are certain times in our cycle where we just feel like we want to give our love to other people. let's see. So energy levels, mood, and then I would also recommend tracking any specific symptoms that you experience too. So, you know, whatever the top ones are for you that you're concerned about, whether it's cramping, it might be, mood might actually be a symptom for you in your cycle that you're interested in tracking. It could be, acne is another common one that people like to look at. So those are the three that I would start with. And then I would also recommend just looking at, like, jotting down some daily notes about things that you eat, how much activity you do, what types of activity you do. Because I work with a lot of people who get stuck into specific diets or specific workout routines or regimens. And once we start working together, we see how they can actually loosen up a lot of that and where specific foods or specific activities that they're doing for exercise might actually be working against their energy levels and their mood, and actually might be harming their ability to ovulate and have a regular menstrual cycle. So these are kind of all the things that you can start to play around with yourself just to see if you notice any patterns or connections to any of it.
Okay. I wasn't aware that the exercise routines could affect my energy levels, though. That's interesting. So what would you recommend? So let's say someone likes to go to the gym and they have a hormonal imbalance. What type of exercises would they do, though, to help them with that?
Yeah, so one of the most common things that I see is, especially if you're complaining of fatigue or just having low energy levels, is actually looking at, you might be doing too much exercise or you might be overexerting yourself. So I see this a lot where people do a lot of high intensity interval training or they're running, you know, if not daily, most days of the week, just doing lots of cardio based exercise or high intensity exercise without sufficient time for recovery. So ideally, in between workouts, you would want to give your muscles a day or two to fully recover. You would want to include a mix of activity that includes not only cardio, but also strength training. So doing a resistance-based workout, even if it's body weight, maybe doing something like Pilates, and then also including stretching activities, relaxation activities, breath work, so things like yoga or just meditation, just giving your body actual rest too. And so I'm not very prescriptive, and I know some people out there will say, you know, do this when you're ovulating, don't do this when you're menstruating. I'm always an advocate of a body first approach, because there are many cycles that I have where I have energy on my period and I want to get in a good workout. So I always advocate, pay attention to what your body is telling you. Notice how your body is reacting and responding as you're moving through your exercise workout, and always give yourself grace to modify, adjust, revise, take the day off if you need it. But yeah, definitely being in a female body, and I'll say this for context, if you're in a female body, your hormonal pattern happens on a monthly cycle. Whereas if you're in a male body, your hormonal pattern happens on a 24-hour daily cycle. So male bodies are able to withstand doing the same thing day after day with no end.
That's interesting.
So if you don't have a male body, you have to work with your monthly energy flow instead of a daily flow because you fluctuate from day to day.
Okay. That's some really interesting information for women, because a lot of times what we find is women are going for a lot. They are busy in the workplace. They are mothers, they are entrepreneurs, side hustlers. Then they are worried about their weight, so they might overexert themselves at the gym. So that is something that they have to pay attention to. Yes, you want to lose weight, you want to watch what you're eating, but all these things can affect your entire cycle. So we have to strike a balance, for true. I like that. Now, one of the things that I think that is a big issue for a lot of us, and I know some people might disagree, and I want to know, and I'm asking, because I've heard women being blamed for having hormonal imbalances, and it affects relationships, it affects their workplace, it affects their productivity. Men might complain that women are this, without understanding that different women have different requirements. So they might date one woman who's different, and another woman might be extreme. So it's a bit of a shift for them. Can we as women take measures to have easier menstrual cycles? And do you think men can adjust? What can we do to help bring the awareness to them? Or what can they do to learn more about it? What would you say to that?
Yeah. Let's see. So I'll kind of break this down into two parts. So on a personal level, with your own efforts to have an easier menstrual cycle, I think number one, it would be good to start becoming more aware of your menstrual cycle itself, and get your own education about how your menstrual cycle works, because there's no shame in not knowing how it works. I was 36 years old when I found out. They don't teach this to young women. I won't even say women. I feel like every young person should have knowledge about the menstrual cycle at a young age so that we understand how it works. And once you have that foundational knowledge, then you can start to apply your knowledge to your own experience to learn how your body works, because it's quite different to kind of learn quote unquote a textbook definition of how the menstrual cycle works.
I know.
But then you have your own personal experience. And like you said, it differs from woman to woman. So it can be helpful, especially if you have challenges around your menstrual cycle. And if you have medical conditions, maybe like PCOS or hypothalamic amenorrhea, fibroids, endometriosis, things like that, to find a really good qualified practitioner who specializes in those things to help you, because there, if it's a medical condition, that needs to be addressed. And then once the condition is managed, then you can get more in alignment with the monthly cycle and the flow of it. If you're just experiencing kind of, I'll call them run-of-the-mill period problems, cramping, headaches, sugar cravings, all of PMS, those types of things. You can work with somebody like a coach like myself to understand what are the lifestyle-based practices that you can include to help improve your experience with your menstrual cycle, and then learn how to get into a flow with it. So I think once you educate yourself on it, and then learn more about how your body works and what you can best do to support yourself, then you can, you know, have conversations with other people around you, whether that's your partner, might be your coworkers or your boss, or family members and friends, anybody who you're in close relationship with, to help them understand how you work and what you need, because that's the base of it, is understanding what your needs are for yourself so that you can then advocate for yourself. And in terms of like maybe having some of the more difficult conversations, perhaps with a partner, specifically maybe a male partner or a male boss, what I've heard other people do successfully is, and this is something that you could, you know, even consider introducing to your partner or your workplace is having something on your calendar mm-hmm. that is a communication mechanism for you to let them know, like, these are my bleeding days, or, you know, just kind of like a general outline of your cycle so that your partner can check in with it easily and be in tune with what phase you're at. And once you learn about the phases, you can educate them on what that means for you specifically. But it also could be helpful, I think, in the workplace as well, so that people can, like, when they're looking at a calendar to schedule meetings with you, they can kind of see, like, days that you could avoid. I know this might sound radical.
It's not radical. It's important because yeah. My mood is very different for sure. Like, I'm highly yeah. irritable.
Yeah, and I work with women who will tell me that they only have 1 to 2 good weeks out of the month. And it's devastating. It's debilitating to go through that. And so for it to be a secret, you know, and then to be expected to be a productive employee or a worker, it's not fair, I believe, to women experiencing this. And especially if you are, you know, just doing your best. You know, it might start out with just like your immediate circle, and then you can kind of start to get more comfortable having these conversations and kind of expanding how you talk about with them, with more people in your life. I know it was difficult for me at first. Now, like, this is my whole life. Like, I'm on Instagram talking about it all the time. But
that's good. We need more women like you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, too, like, one of the most important things once you learn this about yourself is then to share with your family, and especially share with younger people in your mm-hmm. life, because I mean, this is where it changes. This is where they can feel the liberation and the freedom and the self-acceptance to have these conversations, know that what they're experiencing is common, that they're not broken, that there are things that can be done to support them, and that we can support each other in this. And then, yeah, I highly recommend to any men listening to this to also educate yourself on this, because, you know, there half the people that you know are women who are experiencing this or have experienced it. So it's, you know, helpful to educate yourself so that you understand what their lived experiences are.
Okay. I think the important thing that I like that you mentioned is awareness. It's important to become aware as a woman, aware of your cycle, what works for you, how do you operate, because like Natalie said, what works for you will not work for somebody else. And as long as we get to that point, then we can start to track and see if anything changed. Because I realize that women have PCOS or endometriosis or fibroids, and some of them are not even aware of it. And when they do find out, they realize that all the issues they have been having were because of these medical conditions. Now, I had fibroids myself. I had them removed. And I've noticed a slight change in my hormonal imbalance and how it has improved. But it is still there. I still have the mood issues. I still have the times when I have low energy, when I don't feel like doing anything in my business and I'm drained. How can we work around it? We start by monitoring our cycles. We start by putting a plan to get things done when we are at high energy levels. We start by informing people around us, like Natalie said, and just making an effort to improve every aspect of our life by looking at our cycles. Because at the end of the day, we are women in female bodies. We are women who are going to have to deal with this. We cannot avoid it, despite our makeup. So I really like the fact that you emphasize, start with yourself, start learning about it and educate those around you. Now, Natalie, some people might want to know where to start. There's a lot of information online in terms of Google. Do you have any free resources or paid resources that people can access from you that they can start to learn to make a change in their lives? What can people do to get started with you? Let us know more about your services. So if they want to reach out, they can reach out to you and book a call and see where it goes.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I work with people one-on-one inside of a coaching program called the Change In Method. And so That is one way to get started if you're interested in going into a deep dive and really uncovering, you know, what is at the root of the period problems that you've been experiencing. If you're also interested in learning the fertility awareness method as a form of natural birth control, that is also something that I educate on. So that's kind of the deep dive version. But then I also offer a couple resources if you're just interested in coming off of hormonal birth control and what the first steps are for that. I have a free guide, so you can feel free to reach out to me. I'm sure you'll link to all the places that you can find me.
I will.
So I have that guide. I also have a workshop available about how to chart your menstrual cycle. So that is kind of the daily practice piece of this for tracking signs and symptoms, to not only understand your period problems better and help manage them, but also to practice fertility awareness method as a birth control method. So yeah, those are some ways to get started. And then there's also some great books that have been written in the last few years. I'm so grateful that there are so many more resources available now. I'm trying to think. Taking Charge of Your Fertility is a great book for fertility awareness method. There's Woman Code by Elisa Viti. That's where I got started in learning about my cycle. The Period Repair Manual by Laura Bryden. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Bryden. So yeah, those are just a few spaces to get started. But yeah, I'm on Instagram too, at Natalie Melchiori. So you can feel free to DM me and ask any questions.
Okay, Natalie, thank you for this. I'll also put Natalie's information in the show notes and the links to the books that she mentioned, the names of the books, so you can reach out to her directly to ask questions to get started on taking charge of your hormonal imbalance. So guys, if you really enjoyed this episode, please share with a friend, please reach out to Natalie, please ask a question, because we are in charge of our bodies. We are in charge of making bold moves to improve our lives, because guys, it starts with you, nobody else. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Natalie. It was lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope that this episode will bring some awareness to women, because a lot of women have asked, and I think it's an issue for most people. We cannot avoid it. So thanks for this. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you can follow me on Instagram at Melinda Francois or at Livelihood Matters Podcast. You can also join me inside of my one-on-one coaching container or inside of my group program, Breaking Generational Poverty, where I teach you how to package your knowledge and skills into a sustainable online business. I'd love to hear from you. And guys, please share this episode with a friend, and see you next time.